And now we've come into the Christmas time. You know, yesterday we were talking a bit about, you know, what God loves and what He doesn't, what He likes and what He doesn't like. And one of the guys said, when we were there at Gordon's Bay, we looked at all the buildings and everything there. He says, man, imagine how beautiful it would have been if none of these buildings was here. And it was just the way it was always. And then my friend said, but how boring would it have been if there was nobody to enjoy it here. You know, this place is for man. You know, it's for us to go and live there. You know, and I know a lot of people might have a big thing about nature and all of that, but I've been on deserted beaches in Mozambique, you know, where it's just you on the beach. There's something nice about it. It's beautiful. But it's so nice if people can come and enjoy it, because that's why it's there. This planet was made for us to enjoy. Angels are there, servants of the heirs of God, which is us. So it's like, you know, if we look at nature and all the beautiful places and we can't go and see it, it's like, I think, close to Bredasdorp, there's a piece of beach they've closed down. Nobody can go there. Like nobody. Not even a ranger. Nobody can go in there because they want to preserve it, you know, for people in future. So, but now, what use is it if nobody can ever see it? You know, it's like, and it's the same with righteousness and the free gift. God has given it to be used. I mean, we can use the joy of knowing that we are the God kind. We can make use of the joy of knowing that God is our friend and our Father, the one that gives birth to His life in us. I mean, what use is it if we can't make use of it? It's like having a car that you never ride and you only walk. But you've got the car. It's been given to you. I will not enjoy it if I go through great effort to give my sons, you know, each one of them a house and a car, but they don't want to stay in the house. They don't want to use the car and live under a tree somewhere, you know, walk where they want to go. I mean, then I've worked for nothing. So in the same way, if we think of nature, if we think of everything that God has given us, it is for us. You know, He made the heavens, He made the earth, He made the plants, He made the animals, He made the stars. And everything He made with one thing in mind, and that is, all of this is for man to enjoy. You know, when David looked at the stars, he said, what is man? He looked at everything God created. He says, what is man that you are mindful of him? You created all of this and your mind is full of man. You know, God's mind was full of you when he made everything for you to enjoy it. Hallelujah. And I mean, it cannot be enjoyed out of a wonderful love relationship with God, knowing that He approves of you, that His stamp of approval is over your life. And I mean, all of this didn't start at the birth of Christ. It started in the mind of God before the earth was made. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians 2. It says clearly that God had in mind that we would only be in one way before Him, and that is holy, blameless, before Him in love. That's the only way we can stand before Him. There's no other way that God has for us but holy, blameless, before Him in His love that He has for us. That was what God decided. The Bible says God predestined that man would be that way in Christ. God predestined that we would be part of Him. Be one with Him. And then when man messed it up and God came in Jesus Christ to restore and then bring to life His original plan in man, that was when Jesus was born. You know, when we come to Christmas time, we also had a conversation about a Christmas tree. You know, is it good to have a Christmas tree or not to have a Christmas tree? So a verse that comes to my mind when it comes to the discussion of the Christmas tree is don't, the Bible clearly says, in Afrikaans, I say, moenie navraag doen oor wat hulle in die slaghuis verkoop nie. Ken jy daai skrif? Hy sê moenie navraag doen oor wat hulle in die slaghuis verkoop nie, want miskien was daai dier geoffer aan 'n afgod, dan kan jy nie die vleis eet nie. But if you don't know, you eat in peace and you thank God.
Amen.
So when you have a Christmas tree, listen. Don't go and inquire where it comes from, because maybe you can't enjoy it anymore. You know, so, and if you have inquired and your mind doesn't have any peace, you know, maak 'n krippie op of something, you know, just something different there. Whatever you feel. But, I mean, we had this discussion and I realized that what God has come to bring to us is not a consciousness of sin. That's why it says don't even go and inquire, you know, where does this meat come from? Because you will be sin conscious, you will be false god conscious, because those animals might have been sacrificed to some false gods and now they are sold in the butchery, so now you can't partake of it and you are sin conscious, guilt conscious, and that will form your life. So let's rather be conscious of the blessedness of God. And when it comes to Jesus Christ and we think of Christmas time, I think it is a wonderful time. It's a family time. What we normally do on Christmas Day, for those of you that don't have the movie, there's a... Did we buy it from Amazon? Kalahari. We got it from Kalahari. If you guys want to get it, I'm sure you can get it from Amazon as well. Called The Nativity Story. And what we do is, you know, we give out all the presents, you know, and I just tell the gospel to my kids again. And then it's just a short gospel message, and then we watch this movie together, which is all about the birth of Christ. You know, so Christmas time to me and to Christians is all about God giving His gift of Jesus. And I just want to say this is just an introduction. Let's not be all taken up, and I say this for a reason, because there are many people that watch this all over the world. Let's not be taken up with, you know, is it right to have Christmas or not? You know, Christmas time is connected mostly all over the world with gifts and presents in Jesus Christ. And if people know of Christmas, there is something ringing in their heart and in their mind about the Christians that believe, you know, that was the giving of the Savior of the world. It rings true in somebody's heart somewhere, you know. And let's just enjoy this time of thinking of the goodness of God, especially focusing on it. So I'm going to go to Isaiah 6. And, you know, every time on Christmas time I minister on this verse, but every time I see something new and something fresh from this verse. I'm going to read from verse 2 to 4 and verse 9. So 2 to 4, 6 and 7. That's what I'm reading. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. You have multiplied the nations and increased the joy. They joy before you according to the joy in harvest. As men rejoice when they divide the spoils. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, let us just stop there. I want to explain this. He comes here and he talks about people that sit in darkness. Now, there were people that was looked down upon, you know, in the area from where Jesus came from. But the New Testament context about this is that people walked in darkness, and that refers to the law system. The Bible says that people love darkness more than light, and he came to his own, but his own loved the darkness more than the light. So what was this darkness? This darkness was the message that was putting a shadow over your life and dumping you into darkness, which is obviously, we know, the whole law system of disqualification. Okay, so he says people sat in this darkness, but all of a sudden they saw a bright light, and then the oppressor was destroyed. Okay, and then it explains why. He says, for unto us a child was born and a son was given. Now that's awesome verse. He says a child was born but a child was not given. A child was born, but a son was given. And doesn't talk about a son in the sense of male and female, gender. It talks about the standing of a son. Now, the word son, there in the Hebrew sense, just get, did my iPad die? No, here it is. The word son means the following: the head of a family or the builder of the family name. So, a child was born, but the builder of God's family name was given. So what he was saying was, a child was born, but God's plan was to expand his family. That was what was given to man. Part of, to become a partaker of the family life that God possessed between the Father and the Son. That's what he said. That was what, that's the free gift given to all of man. Okay? And to us, a child was born, but a son was given. This sonship, the fact that we can become part of the family of God, is the removing of all darkness. Darkness is contained in being, and please hear carefully what I'm saying here, being in the mindset of, I am a servant of God. Yes. Instead of being part of the family of God. That's darkness. That's darkness. You're walking in darkness because what he offered was family life. He offered a son, the builder of the family name. And he's going to build up his family name over all of mankind. That's what he says there. The head of a family, or the builder of a family name. Okay? He will destroy the yoke of the oppressor. We were oppressed. And he says that this will be as in the day of Midian. When the conquering came in the day of Midian, it was not by the doing of people, but by the doing of God. People just looked and God just conquered the whole thing. It was not by man's power, but by God's power. So what he says here is, for us to become part of God's family, for us to experience God's family life, for him to build, to take us and build us into his family, will be as in the day of Midian. When our power was not used, but when the zeal of the Lord brought it forth. Amen. And that is when a son was given to us, a child was born. So when Jesus was born, I mean, those shepherds didn't know what was in God's mind. You know, Mary knew that he would be called the Savior of the world, the Messiah. But what it implied, I don't think she had a clue. But God knew. And he reveals that through the Holy Spirit unto all of us, that we can know the dimensions of our inclusion into the Godhead, into his family. Amen. Where he is the Father. Now we're going to get to Father now and what that means. Let's just read again here. For unto us a child was born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Okay? It means, now the government shall be upon his shoulder. Let me explain that. One time, years ago, I read in a commentary, and this is what they said. They said a king would have a golden key, either embroidered or a physical golden key put upon his shoulder. A golden key put upon his shoulder, showing that he's the king. And what it was talking about there, it was the government was upon his shoulder. The key of the kingdom was his. He could give and take in that kingdom as he wanted. Now, a golden key means the following. Gold talks about divinity. Okay? So the key to divinity would be upon the shoulder of Jesus. Not your shoulder, but the shoulder of Christ. He unlocks divinity for every man. Hy sluit goddelikheid oop vir elke mens. So wat hy kom sê is, hy sê, unto us a child was born, a son was given, that will unlock divinity for every man. He will unlock God for every man, that every human being can be a partaker of God. Like Genesis says, he says to Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. You inherit me. We inherited what Christ inherited in his resurrection. Amen. That's what this whole time is all about, this festive season, is thinking, for me, this is what it's about, thinking about the fact that the government is upon his shoulder. He unlocks divinity for me. He took away all darkness. A great light appeared because a child was born, but God came and gave a family builder. Hallelujah. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace there shall be. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Okay, so what he says here, he says, this name, his name shall be called. The word name, I just want to explain the word name in Hebrew. The word name in Hebrew is means two things. It talks basically about the glory that rests upon someone. Okay? The word Shem, that's what it is. The glory. Two Hebrew characters, Shin and Mem. Shin talks about glory, or it talks also about to consume. It's got two meanings, one in the positive, one in the negative. To consume or to eat up, or glory, or it also talks about heart pressure. So it comes here, when we talk about a name, it talks basically about the glory of Jesus, the glory of God. The glory, or the view and opinion that we will have about God will be the following. His name. You know, Jacob had a certain name. The Hebrew sense name was connected to who the person really is. The view people will have about him. You know, as die ouse naam slang is. You know, then you don't do business with him. Okay? If a guy's name is Snake, you don't do business. You know there's trouble. Because the name means something. Okay? If the way we always say it, if we say somebody's called Tiny, we know it's a big guy. That's just the way it is, isn't it? Sparky is an electrician. So a certain name is connected to what this guy does. So his name, the glory, the view and opinion that you can form about him will be the following. It will be Wonderful Counselor. Now the word wonderful, let me explain this. When I studied this out this morning, it was just so awesome to me. He will be the head of the family, or the family builder. His name, the view and opinion that we will have if we really see who he is. This is the view we will have. We will say, Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful consists of these Hebrew characters. It is Lamed and Pei. Okay? Which means the word from the leader. That's wonderful. What is wonderful today? What's wonderful to us? The word of the leader is wonderful. If you want to define wonderful, there's only one way to define wonderful. It was hidden in the Hebrew characters. It is the word of the leader. The word of the leader. Who's the leader? Jesus is our leader. He's our shepherd. The word of the leader. That is what is wonderful to us. Okay? Counselor consists out of three Hebrew characters. It is Yud, Ayin, and then Tzadik. Now, what this means is the following. It is, Yud is the picture of a hand, talking about work. Okay? Ayin is a picture of an eye, which means it talks about experiential knowledge. And then Tzadik talks about It's a picture of a man laying down, and also talks. I started this out. This is what they say on the table there. It talks about a need. Okay, man laying down. Think of the guy that was beaten on the road. Okay, that fell next to the road, that was in need. You know, needed to be picked up. Okay, in need. So, wonderful counselor means the word of the leader. Okay, working the experience you need. Wonderful counselor. The word of the leader. Working the experience you need. Counsel, to be counseled by God, is when He works the experience you need. Because the way God works is by working in your feeling, in your emotion, bringing forth His desire for you. For the Bible says, God will work in you to will and to do. It says clearly, it says, if you delight in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. That's the counseling. So if you need advice, according to the Bible, what do? You delight in God. What does He do then? Then He counsels you. He works in your heart. He works that you can experience whatever you need. You know, He works the experience you need. Wonderful counselor. That's what His name will be when we understand the gospel. So when Jesus was born, this was in the mind of God, that upon the lips of every human being will come these words, not as you shall call Him Wonderful Counselor, but by experiencing who He is, we will say Wonderful Counselor. He gives the most wonderful advice. And the way He gives advice is, the word of the leader works in you the experience you need. If you need experience being loved, it will come from the word of the leader. What is the word of the leader? It is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that message will work an individual word for you for today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, they said the end of the world was... when was it? Friday. Okay, so... Sylvia? We're in a new world now. Okay, yeah. Yeah, the old world ended. We're in a new world now. The end of the world, according to the Bible, if you read, I'm not talking about the end of the physical world, but the end of the world system was when Jesus came. He ended the world as we knew it. And the world then was the Jewish world, where the world consisted out of you are what you do, but God ended that world and gave us a new world. Amen. But you know, I was thinking of, you know, when they said the end of the world and the coming of Christ. Man, it would have been nice. You know, I've seen the people that are the most scared people when it comes to the end of the world are Christians. I don't know why. You know, if the end of the world, glory to God. You know? Okay, amen. You know, we're not scared, we're not worried. You know, worried about your house when it's the end of the world. How can you worry about your house when it's the end of the world? Worried about your kids. Or you don't have to be worried. You can just experience His life. So, you know, when it comes to things like the end of the world and all of that, and we hear God's word about our life, the word of the leader, we will have an experience that we need. And God knows exactly what you need to experience. He knows where you need peace. He knows where you need joy. He knows where you need a tranquility of mind, just a rest of mind. Amen. And that is what His word will bring to you. So that's why it's so important to have the right word. And this was what was in the mind of God, that every human being will have a word, these words, Wonderful Counselor, flooding out of their mouths because of the revelation and the experience of who God is. Amen. It says here that when Jesus comes, he will increase our joy like in the joy of harvest. Now, you know, there's a different joys. I've said this many times before as well. There's a joy in planting. I remember when I farmed. You know, and you've got like 20 or 30 people on the piece of land, and we're planting cabbage, for instance. And as you see these, you know, you take that little cabbage plant, and when you plant it, and it's in the Douglas area, and it's hot, you know, you can just see all those plants are just, just goes lie down on the ground like that. And you've just spent thousands of rand now to buy all these plants. And everything's just flat on the ground like that. But you know you need a plant. And you plant, and then after you've planted halfway through the day, when that block is finished, then you start to flood, let the water come in. And then you see after 2 hours, they stand like this in the wind, you know. Beautiful. And they just get that life. And there's a joy in planting. There's a joy in it. And when you finish and you see everything is planted and it's growing and whatever, it's going well, you're happy. And then there's a joy in seeing everything grow. And then there's the joy of harvesting. The joy of harvesting differs from the joy of planting. Because the joy of planting means you put in. But the joy of harvesting means it's time for being paid. You're getting your money now. Amen. There's a joy in starting a business, but there's a very big joy in the day when you maybe sell that business and you take all that money, and now you're going to live your last days and your kids can inherit and all of that. There's a different joy. And this is what he says. When Jesus was born, you know, this is what he has come. He will bring a joy in people like in the day of harvest. So, he does not bring the joy of planting, the joy of being able to work. He brings the joy of enjoying the harvest. He did the work, we receive the harvest. What does the Bible say? He says, go and find laborers to enter into the harvest. Amen. And you know, we always thought that we work in the harvest because it's God's harvest. No, He planted everything and now we harvest His life. It's like a farmer that planted watermelons and say, I've planted all these watermelons, I've grown them and everything. If you want a watermelon, go and harvest. And the very same thing, we don't work to have godliness anymore. God has planted godliness, grown godliness, brought godliness to maturity, and now He says, go and harvest it for yourself. It's a free gift. Amen. He says, He will increase the joy of all nations this way, and they will have joy as in the day of harvest, in the day when they share the spoils. He also connects it to war. Remember when Melchizedek came back, he took the spoils of war and they went in the king's dale in Genesis 14, and then that's where they would divide the spoils, you know. So what he comes, he says, you'll have joy as in the day of the dividing of the spoils. Meaning, you will not be in the war, but you will have the joy of benefiting of what he conquered in his war on your behalf. Amen. That's why we can say, wonderful counselor, everlasting father. You know, everlasting father, that is such a powerful, powerful statement. It says there, he will be called wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting father, the Prince of Peace. Everlasting father, let's look at that. Everlasting, we know what everlasting means. It means everlasting, forever. And then he connects the word father to the word forever. And what blesses me about that is the following. God is called father because who he is gives birth to who he is in me and in you. That's why we call him father. So when it says that we will call Jesus everlasting father, this is what it means. Forever we will see Jesus seated at the right hand of God as the one that gives birth to our life. You are never going to be the one that's going to give birth to quality of life to yourself. He is called Everlasting Father. You're not called Everlasting Father. You're not called even, you're called son or child in your relationship with God. You are not called father. He's called father. Who is a father? A father is the one that brings forth life. So he will forever be called the one by us that says he brings forth life. Where does he bring forth his life? In us. Forevermore, we will say, Jesus is the one that brings forth life in me. Even when we would go to heaven one day. Okay? And let's just talk about it in a general sense. Say we die, we go to heaven. Forever and ever and ever, we will say this, that the source of my life is the union between Jesus and the Father in the Godhead. And that gives birth to what you see today. Forever that truth will be called Father. Forever a child that was born, a son that was given, will be called the Father of my life. Guilt can never be the father of your life ever again. For a child was born, a son was given. And he was the one. Why was he? A son was given so that he could advance his father's kingdom or grow the family name by getting you included into the family. Hallelujah. Everlasting Father, mighty God. And then obviously called the Prince of Peace, the ruler of peace. You know, let me explain Prince of Peace. You would get the prince of a certain kingdom. Okay? It talks about the authority of that kingdom. If I would say the Prince of Darkness, you've got the devil in mind. If I say the Prince, okay, it talks about the Prince of a certain kingdom, the Kingdom of Darkness. The ruler of that kingdom. So when we say the Prince of Peace, we talk about the ruler of a certain kingdom. And this kingdom is called peace. The word peace, I've explained many times, this is what the word peace means. The word peace means the emotion of not being indebted. So unto us a son was given. A child was born, a son was given. We will say of him, our view and opinion of him will be, the wonderful or the powerful word of the leader that makes me experience what I need to experience. Okay? The one that gives birth to the life I have today, that has rid me of all emotions of guilt. And this is called God, the mighty God. And the might of God is not defined in how he can destroy people, but in how he destroys guilt. And how he destroyed that which causes darkness and despair and depression and calamity in your life. That's why he's called mighty. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you, Jesus, for the gospel. The wonderful Counselor, the working, the experience I need. Working the experience I need. We'll say this of God. His name shall be called the strong word, working the experience that I need. He is the Father. He's forever and ever I will be born from him doing the work, working the experience I need to have who he is manifest in me. Glory to God. This is the gospel message. I want to end off with Luke chapter 2. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 2. It says, let me just read it. From verse 11 to 14, it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. You know, when I read the Old Testament, you know, about the prophetic word, and then when I now just read Luke 2:11, when it says, for unto you is born this day, not shall be born. Under the old, they shall be born. But now it says, he is born. It brings tears to my eyes because it has happened. It's not a myth anymore. It's not a futuristic event that they look towards. This is a reality. It's something that has happened. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and a good reputation for every man. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says in another place, I want to just read it there in, I didn't copy it in here. Oh yeah, I did. Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The whole thing that God wanted was this. When you think of Jesus, you can call him the following. When you think of the whole gospel plan, you can call him the following. God with me. God unified with man. God not afar off, God with man, in human form. And man now with God. Unto us a child was born, but a family name builder was given. And he makes you part of his family. And his strong word works the experience you need, which is the Father. That whole system is the Father that gives birth to your life. And that's what you call the Prince of Peace. The life of having the emotion of not being indebted. Amen. I want you guys to go and have a wonderful Christmas day. You know? And think of this truth. Let it wash your mind, you know, in that time. Whatever you plan to do, you know, just go, you will just find this anyway. You know, when I would tell you you've got cancer, you don't need 5 lessons on how to think of, oh my goodness, I've got cancer. I mean, the truth that I shared with you has got the power to grab your mind. Isn't it? I don't have to say go and meditate upon having cancer if I show you you've got it. In the same way, when I tell you this, you know, it possesses the power to grab your mind that you cannot stop to think of this truth. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to just pray for all of you and just the viewers watching via the internet. You know, there might be some of you that's alone at home today and you're not sharing, you know, time with family or friends. And I know I've spoken to some people that say this is a very lonely time for them because they're just going to sit at home. You know, I've got nobody at home and you're alone. I want to just tell you this, that you've been made part of the family of God. You are deeply loved by God and you're part of a greater family. And we all today celebrate the child that was given, you know, the child that was born, the son that was given to us, and we celebrate in the innocence that came to mankind through this one child, and we celebrate with you, and we are in a global oneness in Jesus Christ through this truth. And I'm going to just pray for everybody and pray for you as well. Father, I want to thank you that we can call you the family builder. The son that comes to advance the family, make the family bigger. Thank you for that. Thank you that we are part of the God family. Not just human family, but the God family which turns out to be in human form. Thank you for that. Thank you that we can call you today and this truth that you've shared with us, the prince of the emotion that we have of not being indebted. Thank you that your strong word works the experience we need. Hallelujah. You're the wonderful counselor. And that the glory that rests upon your name, this is the view and opinion we have about you. Holy Spirit, thank you for reminding us every day of what we have freely received in Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I want to just pray. I just feel in my heart, especially for people that's got sickness in their bodies. You know, to be ill and to have some sickness in your body is not nice. And in this time, you want to experience some healing. I'm going to pray for you right now. People over the web as well. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you that you have come in Jesus Christ to bring healing to mankind. And you have even showed, beyond the shadow of a doubt, healing. When you were on the earth, you brought forth health. And we are now part of that kingdom that you came and brought forth. You said you are innocent, you are forgiven, and I will show your innocence by healing you. And we know that we are innocent. We are innocent, but we receive our healing as well. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that I can stretch forth my hand towards every person who's got sickness in his body. And I declare you healed by the finished work of Jesus Christ, and a new life manifests in you by the resurrection power of Christ. And we will say of all this work that the zeal of the Lord has performed it and not us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.